It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome in to the Scotty Johnny podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett, Scotty Johnny himself. And with me, again, as per usual, is Aaron Flottam.
Hey, John, what's going on, man?
Oh, I guess we'll get into it. For me, nothing big, terribly large. I'll have a change of my other job here shortly, but that's nobody else's major concern here. It's been lovely weather, and I've had plenty of days to go out fishing. I take the kids out, and they can be horribly ungrateful for everything.
Right, absolutely. Why not?
Yeah. Remember, of course, you can follow this show on Twitter. It does have its own Twitter feed, which is Scotty Johnny Pod. You can also follow me at Not So Humble Host. And Aaron, where do your many, many followers find you?
You can find me at many, many. I do like after last week I complained. I lost like 10% of my followers like in like an hour. And I don't even know why. Like all I did was post a picture of, I don't even know what I posted a picture of, but I looked up and all of a sudden I'd lost like 10% of my followers. And I'm like, what the hell? Well, I got most of them back. Or
was it the drawing of yourself you made over the last couple of days?
Well, anyways, yeah, you can find me at Cheddar Talk, at Cheddar Talk, John. And actually right now, if you look at my feed the last couple of days, it'll be buried now, but the wife and kids have been out of town. So I'm on more often, but I will draw your picture or a likeness of you. Yeah. On lined notebook paper with a ballpoint pen.
He'll do it, people, for nothing. I mean,
yes.
Normally, you got to travel to a big city and you got to pay a lot of money to get something like that. But
well, it was at Brewmaths had a contest to win a at Drunk David Stern's catchphrase. Naughty word, the Cubs.
FTC.
T-shirt.
FTC. Yeah, hashtag FTC.
Yeah. Hashtag FTC, and it was make up a story about. God, I forgot what it was, what the premise was, but, or just make up a story like Uke does. So I just made up a story that Drunk David Stearns was on a quest. We were on a quest to Chicago to a Cubs game, but Drunk David Stearns ran out of
something like that. 67.
Yeah, in 1967, we were headed down to Wrigley Field, which smelled more like urine than normal on this hot summer day. And Drunk David Stearns ran out of booze. And it was me. He was the leader, and me, you, stupid John.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yes.
When Wendy Lou Who, our friend of the show, and an old friend of mine, Ange, who still doesn't like Aaron Rodgers to this day, and is in the far forever boat. Like she's like the last man standing on that boat. And so, and the premise was that he ran out of booze and he was getting surly. So we were going to put you and Ange in an Uber back up to Wisconsin because it's cheaper to buy booze in Wisconsin than and pay for an Uber all the way back than to buy booze in Chicago.
We had to invent Uber first, of course.
Right. And then instead we staged a killing of a goat in Wrigleyville, but jeez. Instead we just tore apart a pillow and the Cubs fans thought it was actually a goat because they don't know what actual animals look like. And they gave us a bottle of whiskey and David Stearns was happy at the end. And so I started drawing cartoons,
yes,
cartoon characters to go with this children's storybook to put out awareness on how not to be a Cubs fan.
The first drawing was horribly inaccurate. It just had me in a shirt that said, I'm a lawyer, but the head was too small. That's all entirely accurate, but the head was way too small because I have a gigantic
mouth. You were in a t-shirt that just said Bucky. That's all it said.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was saying,
I'm a lawyer.
Yeah, with a sign or something. Yeah, that's right. Yes. Oh, glorious, glorious times. Okay.
That was last night a little bit buzzed up on Twitter. Anyways.
It's true about the animals thing because it's hilarious if you go to the Lincoln Park Zoo and whatnot and they have the little zoo there with the farm so that they can know what farms are like, which is, of course, nothing like a farm because you're like, what farm has all these animals?
Right, exactly.
Come on.
I mean, I know there's goat farms, but, I mean, it's predominantly goats. And it's like there's not a lot of goat farms. Like there's a couple.
Like a farm that has like 12 goats. Has two horses and four cows. You're like, what are these people doing?
What do they count?
Must like feta cheese. Who knows?
One fun time we went to that zoo with a German exchange student and my dad when I was in college. My brother was in high school, and we were there at the Lincoln Park Zoo, and they were doing the milking a cow exhibit, which is super exciting for, you know, all of them. And I'm sitting there, I was like, okay. So my brother Dan and I are talking a little bit, and this woman's like, and if you don't pay attention, like these two over here, I'm going to call on you for questions. I was like, go ahead. Like, I've never seen a cow milked before.
I know how to manually milk a cow if I need to.
I haven't been there, but I know how to do it with the machine and everything. I was like, it's been a long time. I'm not going to do it, but I was like, all right.
I know what udder butter is. So does that say anything? But I forget what it is, but I think you have to, maybe some farmer can correct me on that. Chitter talk,
because
it has been over 20 years since I've been on a farm. I worked on farms. There weren't a lot of jobs, so we worked on farms, and I'd milk cows. And I think if a cow has mastitis, I think you have to manually milk it to get it flowing, but without inflaming. It was something weird like that. Yeah,
this is good. But this is all good content, everybody.
This is hot.
If you've been living through the last week, this is exactly what you need, is us saying random things that we can't remember about when we have seen or been around cows being milked, and you're like, all right.
Yeah, to be perfectly honest, I did more hay baling than I did cow milking, though, and I did have to shovel some cow poo, but from time to time, clean a manger every now and then again, you know, cow pens, stuff like that.
I didn't do that. I just had people I knew at cows and stuff, or friends of the family and stuff like that. So that's about it. Nothing horribly exciting.
Weren't a lot of jobs for high school kids, except, you know, to go work on a farm, unless you worked at like a gas station. I was a lifeguard at the local community pool for a while. But I mean, during the summertime, you can make a lot of money baling hay and working on a farm, you know, like $5 a wagon. So,
yeah, I did. I worked Parks and Rec, which is a lot of fun. That was great. Anyhow, everyone should also remember
one person at the Turtle Lake Parks and Rec department.
That sounds good. That sounds fair. Point was a little bigger. Yep. Remember, of course, you can always find this show on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and much, much more. Wherever it is that you do find us, please remember to subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review. And, of course, the least important is listening. Just, you know, download us, rate and review us. We're going to be super happy. Five stars, of course, is the only correct answer. On this. So with that, we'll get into what we're going to call it our main event this week.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right. So main event this week is going to be it's going to be what you've been watching mostly, I think. Obviously, there's been everything going on around, George Floyd and everything that happened there. We're only going to be talking about it with sports. You can get all the other stuff somewhere else. We know you can. We know there's lots to be heard and lots to be said, and there's a lot of great places to go to get that information. We're not those people at this point. We're not seeking to be those people. We have opinions. We express them in other places and in other views, but this is the spot where we're going to talk about what happened with the Packers on this. And, you know, like last week I talked briefly, there was some stuff that came out from, you know, Barry Alvarez got very much ahead of it. And, of course, mm-hmm. the day after I said, where are Guard and Crist, they both issued statements that Tuesday after mm-hmm. I already put everything up. So both football and basketball coaches put out statements. They were a little behind some of the other coaches at UW, but they got something out. It might also be that they wanted to talk to some of their athletes. And I mean, the football program's got an insane number of athletes to try to get into. So that might be one thing. Basketball.
Right.
Less,
like 100 plus people, you know, but you know, the bet and two, it's everyone. So it's a lot of the reason why we're in the trouble that we're in right now is because of running off emotions and just not making proper decisions in a timely manner and actually thinking things through. So, I mean, they're in a position too, where I'm sure they were in contact with their kids, and that's what's most important about everything is talking to them, because they all have minority players. It's just, I'm fine with it that they took a week to come out with a statement, and have it be right. Like, everyone was kind of on the Packers, like, well, the Packers haven't said anything on this yet. And, like, literally, like, a day later, they did. And it was maybe one of the more powerful ones any team put out, you know? It was real good. It's a timely, well-thought-out response is better than an immediate response or talking off the cuff like Drew Brees and then getting yourself in trouble.
Yeah, Drew Brees felt he could try to kind of patriot his way through a lot of things here, and he did not prepare for that interview. I mean, very clearly didn't, because it's as if he was not prepared for that question to come up, which is clearly the question that has to come up for any NFL player is, you know, if we're going to start saying we're behind some of this stuff now, you know, what about the kneeling? What about Kaepernick? What about these other things? And, well, I mean, if we're going to say anybody in terms of, like, what could happen to Kaepernick, my son Josh and I were throwing a football yesterday and trying to talk about who could sign Kaepernick and where does it make sense. And you're like, you know, not San Diego anymore, LA Chargers, because they went out and drafted Herbert and he's garbage. I mean, and the Bears should have, or they should have gotten Cam, because how is Cam Newton still out in the market somewhere with no job while Foles is on his, like, if you only count the Eagles as one, he's on his fourth team, right? Because he was
third team.
Well, he was Eagles, Jaguars, and was he with Kansas City, or where did he get sent off to?
He was in Kansas City right after he had that year when he only, like, threw two picks. That's right. He went out to Kansas City and then was.
Yeah, he had two stints with the Eagles. So
that's right. It was Eagles, Chiefs, Eagles, Jags, Bears.
Yeah. So yeah, it's. I mean, he gets a Super Bowl win, so he gets something else. But, I mean, Cap went to a Super Bowl and is, I mean, in all fairness, more talented than Foles. And
by a shot.
Aaron, you're more talented than Mitchell Trubisky. So
that is a 100% true statement.
I didn't put myself in that category just yet. I don't know. We'll see. I'll try to get back in shape and see what we can do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, those are some places you're like, yeah, we'll see if they do it. The Bears won't because they just put money into two quarterbacks. I mean, they also announced that they're not going to pay Mitch Trubisky the fifth-year option. So they're going to either they're going to either lowball him or, you know, do something else. But, I mean, like, the biggest thing is Drew Brees was not prepared for that statement. He was not prepared to be asked about the, you know, the flag and all that stuff. And I'll say this. I mean, like, it's fair to say I don't like it when people kneel. Like, I don't like the kneeling, but I understand what they're doing, and I support that they should keep doing it.
He should have avoided. He should have just avoided. I mean.
Yeah, it's hard to avoid a question like that, because then you're like, well, God, he clearly doesn't want to talk about it. You're like, whatever. It's a hard thing, and I get where he's coming from in his heart with his, you know, his family serving and things like that, but you know what? I mean, Drew, they were all for, I mean, like, the people who stormed beaches to defend America, having your speech is freedom, America. I mean, that's the thing that we're looking for in America, is you get to say it. I get to be upset by it, but, I mean, let's be honest, the reason Kaepernick chose that is because it would get news. It would bring people to what he was talking about, and it was meant to upset you. Like, that's the point. Yeah. I mean, having a protest where you upset nobody... That's a hard thing to do.
What's the point? No, you're absolutely right. I mean, just from a very, 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 what am I trying to say here? A very simplistic, just very, like, constructive point of view. What's the point of having a protest if it doesn't get anybody's attention, right?
Yeah.
So.
Anyways. The big point of this, though, is the Packers had a good response after that. Then also the players came together and put together their own response, which LaFleur joined them on.
Yep.
And that the video of that, if you've not seen it, is emphatic. There is no way to misjudge it. They are not mincing words. They are very clear as to what it was they were specifically trying to say and what the feelings were. And it was all the major players on that team and the head coach, and they were all involved in it. And apparently Rodgers wrote the whole thing, and everybody's saying that.
Actually, John, that's what I was trying to get you to. So I sent John earlier a link to the Pat McAfee show from the fourth. Yeah. So June 4th, go to 1 hour and 39 minutes. That's right near the end of the show. Mason Crosby's the last guest that he has on. Actually, the whole show is Tony Dungy's also a guest. So this happened right after the Drew Brees bit. So he brought in Tony Dungy, and it was right after the Packers had put out their thing. So Pat McAfee brought in, Mason Crosby from the Packers to talk about it, which I never thought I'd ever tune into hear some hot punter on kicker talk on a show, but McAfee's good, and Crosby's a heck of a guest. He's really good. And actually, yeah, he was talking about all the people in that video are part of the Packers leadership circle. So those are all the players that Matt LaFleur works with.
Okay.
To good, get messages good out to us. They make decisions on how things should be run. And yeah, and it was Aaron Rodgers' idea, and well, kind of the Packers' idea. Rodgers kind of headed it up. And Aaron Rodgers did write it. And the one thing for someone who's very private and actually doesn't put out a whole lot of stuff, and Aaron Rodgers, especially in the offseason, does go MIA for weeks on end, if you've ever noticed. Like, you just don't hear from him at times.
Yeah.
And Mason Crosby addresses that, is that he's a, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a very private person, and that's why it is construed that he is how he is sometimes. And actually, he's one of the best teammates you could ever imagine, but he's just very private.
Yep.
And Aaron Rodgers and his responses for some of the athletes of what's going on through all this, you know, Aaron Rodgers broke his silence about standing locked arm in arm with his teammates in solidarity over this whole thing when it was coming down. Aaron Rodgers is very progressive. Nobody should ever think twice about that. The man, some of the things the man talks about, it's too bad he's not more vocal, because he'd be a very good leader in this situation, but he always has kind of been, you know, the only time he's ever loud is whenever he's on like a Dan Patrick show or in a post game conference. And he's not even loud. It's just, that's the only time you ever see him, you know, the purple crush after the Vikings games. I mean, that's kind of his, that's, he's snarky. That's
he is a little bit, his digs are kind of quiet, and they're almost underhanded. Like, you almost could miss them if you're not really looking for them at times. So yeah.
Right. So, but the Packers did a really good thing with that. And yeah. Well, so another one I think is, and after we're done with the Packers, remind me, we got to talk about the Bucks too. So,
oh yeah, that was also a big one. We'll get to that too. Cause it's kind of, we're not really doing just specific Packers here. We're doing kind of the reactions of our teams this week, I think. And one of the other things, yeah, you brought it up too, the Instagram photo of Rodgers with the locked arms thing, and how he responded immediately to Drew Brees in that moment too. And then they followed it up the next day with the video. In between, if people didn't notice this, Martellus Bennett gained some news. Oddly placed news to put him in the forefront and in the news right as he's signing a contract with Disney about a book he's written that he's going to work to turn into something else. Of course, Disney, who one of the most noted racists who wouldn't sign blacks to work at Disney World because it's supposed to be a perfect place, and who helped create Song of the South. Yeah, that's the Disney he was working with. But anyhow, they're not the same company anymore, and Walt is... he's been gone for a while, but anyhow,
he's cryogenically frozen underneath Disneyland.
Sure, he is. The point I want to make, I guess, is Martellus Bennett came right after Rodgers and saying, look, I tried to do some things in Green Bay when I was there. I was there when all this was happening and he wasn't with us and this and that, and how hard it was to protest in Wisconsin. Let's be very clear. The Kaepernick thing happened in 2016 when Bennett was playing with New England. Now, there was some of it the next year, but it wasn't nearly as big the next year, and then nobody was stopping anything, and Bennett didn't do the kneeling. The big protest he was involved in was being supportive of his brother during the games when his brother was in with Seattle shortly after. He pretended that he had been singled out for being black when what happened is something entirely different. We won't go into that again. We talked about the time Michael Bennett made up a story about what happened to him in Las Vegas as if he had no idea that when you're in Vegas, you're on camera, because he was in a casino. And by the way, the police had their cameras on, which they should. And they didn't arrest him. You know, like, he was questioned as to a couple of things, but he was not arrested. And he was released immediately with no problems. It was very quick. And we've all watched the video by now, I think. So he was standing in solidarity with his brother, who was lying about something, while also being involved in the part of the season where he played for five games, faked an injury, and then pretended all the way until he got kicked out and left the team and joined the Patriots, and then lied about the medical staff at Green Bay and how they treated him and what they did. Mm-hmm. Martellus Bennett should never be believed for a single word he says, because everything he says is some sort of fabrication somewhere in his mind designed to make him a hero of his own storyline, and everyone else is the villain. he attacked Rogers immediately, saying that he's a terrible leader. He was not with us, this and that. And then Rogers immediately comes back out with all these other things, which he didn't tell you he wrote it. The other players on the team pointed that out because,
right,
he, like you said, he's private. He didn't want to bring it on himself. He just wants to do what he can. And mm-hmm. then we find the Packers did donate $250 as a team towards $250,000. I said it wrong, I'm sure. $250,000 towards social justice and racial equity groups and organizations. And then Mark Murphy and his wife matched it with another $250,000. So Green Bay Packers groups gave over $500,000 plus some of the players also donated additional amounts as well to racial justice.
Packers organization in general is a community-based organization, right. So it's not surprising.
Yeah. I mean, it is basically like a charitable nonprofit because that's kind of what it is. Like you said, too, the other teams around the area, the Bucks obviously got a lot of big news because Giannis went and spoke.
Giannis was out there, and also let's bring it back to the sports part of it, said that he wants his son to grow up in Milwaukee, right, which was a huge kerfuffle. Like, hey, okay, all the civil justice stuff aside, I think Giannis just said he wants to stay in Milwaukee forever. Yeah. So
Homer picked that up immediately out of Milwaukee.
He put out a very cute video today about with him and his wife and baby laying in bed. It was amazing. So, but
Giannis is so great on Twitter. It's hilarious.
But yeah, so no, well, bigger picture thing. So Giannis was out there in Milwaukee as part of the Black Lives Matter protest downtown and showing his face and not just on video. He was out there,
yeah,
and in the crowds and showing. I mean, he's a leader. I mean, the man's a leader. He's become a very good leader of his team, and now he's starting to show that. And you know, this goes back to the during the whole Drew Brees thing. It came up that, you know, Fox, I'm not trying to get political. I'm really not trying to, but we're trying to bring this to athletes. And it was the whole thing about Drew Brees was, you know, Fox News was saying, you know, Drew Brees should be allowed to talk and have an opinion. But it was the same woman that had said LeBron James needs to shut up and dribble.
That was tone deaf too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think back to, you know, Muhammad Ali had a very prominent role when he was in his prime, most of his life. I mean, yeah. And at the time, he was, I mean, people don't put boxing, I mean, people don't realize how big boxing was. Boxing was the NFL back in the 60s. Like, it was huge. Everything was huge. Muhammad Ali was the LeBron James of his time. He was an international superstar. You know, he was known around the world, and he had a voice, and he used it, and was... crucified is a hard word, but I mean, he was taken to task a lot because of it. And he was right there in the,
he went to jail for it.
He was right there front and center. And I don't mind athletes having, I'd rather have athletes have a place in leadership in the society and the community, because they are in communities, than actors in Hollywood trying to tell the entire country how to do things. And I think it's good. Giannis is a beloved figure in Milwaukee, and he can help heal things because people love him just for who he is. And I'm proud of him. I really am. I'm glad he was out there. I'm glad he was out in the flesh. People could see him. He wasn't just on a screen somewhere. He was in his community trying to heal his community. And good man. Good for him. Good on him.
Yeah. And here's, put on the lawyer hat for a second here. If you're watching on the YouTube feed, it's not literally wearing any hat, but, yeah, there it is. But, I mean, like, you want to talk like First Amendment rights and your right to do all these things. The big thing that they always talk about is like, you have the same right as anybody else to say what you want about subjects, so long as, you know, there's some little things, but the like fire in a theater thing gets so overblown by so many places. The difference is, of course, just they have a bigger stage. Just, mm-hmm. I mean, but that's the thing they always say. They're like, the problem isn't that, it's like everybody gets a soapbox. You could go grab it, you know, make a soapbox, grab a soap. They don't even make soapboxes anymore, I bet. You know, you can go on the corner and say whatever you want. The problem is that if Giannis goes out on the corner and says whatever he wants, he's also going to have cameras there. So, him and I have the same freedom of speech, just he's doing it with the platform he has, and our platforms are much smaller to have, but Right. Good for him. I mean, like, I support people saying the things they want as long. I mean, like, he's reaching out and reaching to people and speaking for people. So that's
and he's someone that you want speaking as someone from Wisconsin and everyone knows Milwaukee is Wisconsin. I mean, he's the biggest star we've had in the NBA, hands down. I mean, since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at the time. No, I mean, nowadays, yeah. I mean, for the exposure that they get as opposed to what Kareem Abdul-Jabbar got back then. I mean, like, he is a number one. The basketball is fast growing and he's an international star, you know? So for him to come out and do that, and of course do it in a way that Giannis does, which is lovable no matter how he does it, you know, and shows love and compassion. I want that associated with my state. I want that guy out there with the microphone, please, by all means do.
And he's always got a very different take than a lot of people would. Obviously, his story itself is so great. And I think that's one of the differences between, like, you look at Hollywood people or something like that, or even some of the other NFL sort of people. It's like, you know, he didn't come from anything. He was a refugee. He was, you know, living in Greece and came here just kind of hoping and stuff. And you're like, yeah. He understands how to speak to real people because he absolutely grew up.
He was a street vendor. Nothing.
Yeah, so
he knows how to haggle, man.
Yeah, his words are very good, and it's good to see those things.
He knows more how the world works than we do, and we've seen some stuff, man. Like, because he actually had to live it, you know. So yeah.
So at this point, we're going to shift hard gears because we're talking about just kind of addressing how the teams talked and how, I guess, you know, both of us saying, like, we were very glad with how, you know, specifically the Packers and the Bucks and the players on those teams did in these circumstances and how they've been very respectful and also been very just they have not been mincing their words. And so they've been telling you exactly who they are and what they think, and, you know, good for them on that. The way we're shifting now is we're going back to the fact that there's still this COVID epidemic thing going on. And the numbers are getting much, much better. I mean, in Wisconsin, they tacked up and they're kind of holding a little bit, but they're dipping some, it looks. It's been around 400 new cases a day kind of thing. Recently, Stevens Point had a small outbreak that had like 15 new cases in one day in central Wisconsin. And it's linked to about four or five bars.
Imagine that.
Yeah, I'm shocked. But anyhow, the numbers do trend downward in a national level. Some states up, some states down. Obviously, getting the massive places like New York and New Jersey to start trending downward quickly has helped a lot. But right. Teams are going to talk about how do we get back. Everybody, we've been talking about this for 3-4 weeks now, Aaron. How are we getting back? Baseball is the one that's still going to be the most interesting. Hockey is okay.
NBA, NHL, NFL all seem to have a pretty good plan in place. NBA, I mean, end of July seems a long ways away yet. But yeah, baseball,
yeah.
What the hey,
so
John?
The last I've heard, the big thing, I talked about this last week. The big problems are over. How many games are they going to play? And how much money are the players going to give up, basically? And how much of it is going to be what the owners are going to forgive? So they're trying to say, like, we should lose equally on this. And there's some haggling back and forth on that. Cause like we said before, when the owners are losing or are making more money than they predicted, nobody's saying, hey, you should give we should probably give you guys a little bit more of that. The players take their money because that's what they agreed to and they go on. But when, of course, everything's down, then, you know, then they start talking about, like, well, maybe you should lose some of the money too. And they're doing it the way they're talking about it is like a progressive sort of sliding scale. Like, the people who make the most are going to have the most cut off of their salary and things like that. And the players obviously want to negotiate about that because the people at the top of the earning get a little bit more say than the guys in the minors and the guys at the back of the benches. But also, they're talking about games. So here's the big thing. I think it was Kirkchen I heard talk about this. I said the big thing to remember. No, I'm sorry. It was Richard Justice. Richard Justice was talking about this. He's like, the big thing to remember is that the players don't get another dime in the playoffs unless they win. there's mm-hmm. a bonus check for winning, but they don't get more money for playing in the playoffs. The playoffs are where the owners really make more money because it's just all there. It's all the TV money. And that check that the players get for winning, that comes out of the TV money. It doesn't come out of the owner's pocket.
Yes.
So
I was just trying to think of who was on Dan Patrick this morning. It was Tom Verducci.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Got it.
And they were, so the owners more than anything want a playoff. They don't as much care about the regular season, at least by and large, a lot of them don't. But right now what the owners I think are looking for is a 48 game season of baseball,
mm-hmm.
which holy wow. I mean, just
that's barely a quarter of a season.
And then talking about maybe they'll just add another playoff team or something just to try to get you know, something else going there. And it's like, this is going to be like an interesting show, basically, what they're going to be doing here.
Verducci brought up a really good point on Dan Patrick this morning, and that was that owners better be ready to lose some money for 1 year, because you know what? If you don't get paid... Because Patrick was talking about that too. Like, baseball could have owned the summer. They really could have. Like, they could have came back as early as NASCAR if they wanted to, if they would have gotten it together, yeah. You know, because of the spacing of the players, you know, like literally it's the most spaced out game there is. The only people who are even close are the batter and the catcher,
yeah.
You know, otherwise everybody's 90 feet apart. Yeah. There's plays where people run into each other, but I mean, literally it's the most spaced out sport there is. They could have come up with some, but when it all comes down to it, it's all about money. It has nothing to do. I mean, yeah, there's a health aspect to it, but it's all coming down to money is what it's coming down to. And they're not going to have a season. They're not. And it's going to be the owner's fault in the long run, because the owners should realize that at this point that they're painted into a corner. And if you don't put a baseball season together and get a product out there, people are going to walk away from baseball with resentment and not come back, because the other leagues put it together. How come baseball couldn't put it together? How come the boys of summer couldn't put it together? And it all came down to money. And now I understand that the owners are going to lose money, but the owners have been making hand over fist in a lot of markets, especially the bigger markets, for a number of years now. Plus, their franchises aren't losing any dollar value unless they don't have a season.
Yeah.
And then you could permanently damage. I mean, at this point, it's almost like the strike. Remember after the strike happened in, what was that, 94? It took a good run by the Yankees to get people back into baseball. But I mean, a lot of the small market fan bases still didn't come back after the strike in 94. It took until J.J. Hardy and C.C. Sabathia for the Milwaukee fan base to come back.
Yeah,
I'm dead serious. Like, it really did, because that strike also married right up with the time that Paul Molitor left, Yount retired, Gattner retired, that regime ended, and the Brewers stunk for 10, 15 years. I mean, and it's the same way with a lot of the other small markets too. So I mean, they got to be careful what they're doing here, and maybe just say, hey, okay, we're gonna take a little bit of a hit here this year, but we got to ensure that we have fans next year.
Yeah, it's a weird negotiation that's going on. Basically, it's very strange, and it's two sides that really want to have, I guess, more power. The players' union in baseball is probably the strongest. I guess
it is
without a doubt the strongest union.
Well, I mean,
in all
you could argue the NBA is, but I mean, the NBA's only got 12 players. They've only got 12 players on each team, so I mean, but baseball, I mean, for 25 players, I mean. Plus, they do have a very strong players union. It's the strongest.
Yeah, it's the NBA, but I think they're the strongest. But yeah, definitely something. The NFL and the NHL have nothing to compare to that. There's just no difference here. So yeah, they're still trying to figure out how they can have some kind of season, maybe an expanded playoff, and then keep moving on and try to finish baseball before December. Because if the Twins are in it at the end, everyone will just hope to die, because they'll have to play outdoor baseball in December. In St. Paul, and which is fine. It's great because all the cities, I mean, the buildings are all connected by tunnels and overpasses and stuff like that. It's not hard living there. It's just you don't want to play baseball on that. I mean, it'd be crazy to do that.
Because our football team needs an indoor stadium and our baseball team needs an outdoor stadium.
Yeah. So yeah, it's
that brought to you by the city that just got burned to the ground. Anyways,
Too soon? No, absolutely too soon. So, but it's going to be, yeah, that could be a weird one. Playing that late into the year for a lot of cities. I mean, New York, Boston, Chicago. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be hard to do those things, and they're just going to have to get to that point where they're saying, we're just going to play playoffs at neutral sites. Like, we'll just play them all in Miami because they're not going to a playoff.
Well, why not play them all? Why not play them all in Milwaukee? Because they were smart enough to put a roof on their stadium.
Yeah, that's true too. I liked my joke better, but
yeah, yours was pretty good too. No, I had mine on hold. I had to get it out before I lost it. So,
all right. So as for
I had one other thought about that too. Oh, I said what brought him back from the last. It wasn't just the Yankees. They had to fabricate a steroid-induced home run derby between Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa to get fans back last time. So
all that, yeah.
Anyways,
yeah, those are rough times. So the NHL seems to have pretty much ironed out their entire plan. They have their bracket set. They know what they're going to do. There's going to be like 5 warm-up games you can play that are just going to be. They're not going to count towards much of anything because the bracket is set. So they. By not much of anything, I mean they will count to nothing. They will be exhibition games to get you ready to play ice, you know, play on the ice again. Mm-hmm. The only things they haven't done, we initially talked about, and you brought it up specifically first, is the one plan was let's go play in North Dakota because there's nothing much going on in North Dakota. They do have nice sheets of ice because they have a powerful Division I hockey program. Mm-hmm. I mean, like that. North Dakota is a power in Division I hockey. They are a great team, generally speaking. Maybe not as much last year or two, but they're multiple national titles. And so that plan has apparently been scrapped, and they're looking for more large hub cities. So they're going to have a Western Conference hub and an Eastern Conference hub. So the cities that are included among the cities left for each of those sets would be Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Edmonton, Las Vegas, Los Angeles. God. It says Minneapolis, St. Paul, but the arena's in St. Paul. Unless they're also going to play at Mariucci, which I think that might be in Minneapolis. Pittsburgh, Vancouver, and Toronto. And I would say you should just take, you know, like Edmonton and...
Oh, my God. You said Edmonton. I was like, oh, my God. Could you imagine all those players going, wait, what?
Go to Edmonton. I mean, like, you want to get away and create a bubble? Edmonton will do what it takes to have hockey. They will do whatever it takes to have hockey.
It's up there.
On top of that, you are away from a lot of people in Edmonton, Alberta. You could go to Winnipeg. I mean, that would be fun, too. I don't think where else you would go.
I love Winnipeg. Winnipeg's the best.
No, I'm not saying they're bad cities. I'm saying you're a bit away from a lot of things. It would
be easy
to create a bubble.
No, I agree with you, but I was just thinking you just said it. I'm just like, God, I've been to Winnipeg a couple times. I love Winnipeg. I think it's awesome. But yeah, you're right. It is in the so when we lived in Duluth, it's as far away from us to the northwest as Chicago was to the southeast. Like, it's that far away, people. It's up there. It's okay, so they want to play in North Dakota? Okay. Go to North Dakota, hook a right, and go 4 hours north. There's Winnipeg.
So, I mean, like, but in terms of the eastern one, I mean, it'd be hard. You're looking at places that are all major hubs. I mean, like, Toronto is so near so many other things, and it's right there.
Toronto's an international city. It's as international as New York is.
And it's right by Buffalo. It's by a lot of other areas in there. It's in the part of Canada where everybody lives, you know. Right near the border.
I have a hard time, like, with Columbus. How many sheets of ice are in Columbus besides the NHL team?
Well, the Buckeyes. The Buckeyes have a hockey team. They have a good hockey team. You could put another team there.
The Buckeyes are. Yeah, I suppose that's two big arenas right there.
And I don't know. I guess if you play in Pittsburgh, you're not terrible. I'm trying to think of how far they are to University Park or whatever, because... Penn State has a hockey program too. Minneapolis, St. Paul, of course, gives you those two.
Pitt's got a hockey program, right?
No, they don't. Nope.
There's got to be some D3 school in Pittsburgh proper.
Yeah. But it's like, yeah, I don't have any. It's the sheets of ice. If you get more than one sheet of ice there, it'd be optimal. Edmonton will do whatever they can to get people to do that.
Edmonton's built on a giant chunk of ice. John.
If they have the entire Western Conference playoff in L.A., I mean, come on. That's, what are you doing?
Right.
Edmonton's the only realistic choice there, with Minneapolis number two, but
they've got some stuff going on right now. So
yeah, but they would all stop for hockey. They would all stop for hockey. Everything would. You want to calm down that city? Tell them they will put playoff hockey in that town tomorrow. I'm just saying. Yeah,
hockey brings people together. I don't know if the demographic that's mad likes hockey that much. But.
You'd be surprised. You're going to be very surprised because it's a Twin Cities thing. It's the only thing that sells out when their team isn't winning. It's right. The only team that still sells out if they're not winning. But yeah, no, they've got the format. They've got this set. Oh, I'm trying to see if they've announced any of the hub cities that I haven't seen that they've actually done it yet. They're looking to get started by the beginning of July and try to get that all set. So the way they're going to kind of do it too is they're going to get into these places and they're going to do a pause and a quarantine. Mm-hmm. Regular season's over, so they're going to have this phase one. Then they're going to have, everybody's going to have to sit there and wait for a period of time. Then there will be non-contact skating for players in small groups, trying to make sure that they're set, trying to have that start in early June. So they're hoping to be there soon. But I haven't seen that they've actually named the cities that they've picked yet. So that's the problem, is they need to get those two cities picked, get the players into the cities, get them to a quarantine stage to make sure that they can check, test, do all the medical stuff for everybody, then allow them to do some skating, non-contact. Yeah. Phase three will be formal training camps, no earlier than the first half of July. And then phase four is the 2014 playoff. Everything is seeding games, this is play-in rounds, but those are all pretty much set at this point. Right. So, yeah, that one's real set. The NBA has at least an idea. It looks like 13 teams in the West and 9 teams in the East will play a shortened schedule with including also a play-in game for the 8th seed. So like the 8th and 9th will play each other after they played like 5 games. But in the scenario they created, the Bucks have already clinched. I haven't seen that they've picked a start date for that yet. I don't know if you've seen anything.
It's looking the end of July. So like everybody will report to Orlando mid-July to start quarantining before starting.
Yeah, and they're...
They better lock down Rudy Gobert, though. Like, just put him in his room, give him 2 weeks' worth of food, and you stay here. Don't touch anything.
Just wrap him in bubble wrap. They're like, stop touching things. Just stop being such a jerk. So, yeah, they're...
He should win Defensive Player of the Year. He shut down the entire league for 2 months. 4 months.
And I like the way that some of them talked about it, too. I mean, like, that's the only league that really specifically had big problems. And they shut down immediately when Gobert got that. I mean, 3 or 4 of the players on his own team.
I remember there was a game going on when they announced that they shut down. Wasn't there like a Golden State game or something that was like happening? And like they barely finished it out, but Yeah.
So, I mean, like the big thing is they said, basically he got it. The NBA said, we're just shutting down. And then all the other sports leagues were like, well, we can't be the ones that don't. And so everybody did. Probably the right call, but I mean,
well, the NBA proves once again with the small rosters and stuff like that. I mean, they really are the most flexible league. They can move on the fly. They're the most adaptable, the quickest evolving. They really are. And there's the reason why the NBA is the NBA is going to be where the NFL is now in about 10 years. And it's because the kids who are athletes that are trying to figure out what game they're going to excel in, they're going to go to basketball because basketball players make a ton of money compared to other players. You can go to the NFL, get busted up for 3 years and walk away with $6 million, maybe if you're lucky. Or, you can go be a third string forward for the Cleveland Cavaliers and pull down $14 million a year. But it's an easier game to play. You were talking about that, like staying sharp for your sport. Like NBA players, you need a ball and a court and a hoop, and there you go. You can still work on your stuff, and if you're quarantining together, you can actually still do that. Hockey players, I can't think of his name. He's on the KFAN morning show. He played for like 6 different teams.
You're gonna lose me there.
Mark Parrish.
Oh, Parrish. Okay.
Mark Parrish was on there, and they were asking him about what hockey players are doing. And he's like, they can't get on the ice. There's no rinks open.
Yeah. I think we talked about it a little bit because it's hard to have a rink. Like,
Yeah.
That's really expensive to run.
Right. Exactly. And like, not an NBA player can have a half court in his backyard, or, you know, and a lot of them do have courts in their houses, you know. You don't just have a sheet of ice in your house because that's expensive as heck. So, I mean, you just don't. So he's like, yeah. And not only that, even if you are a rich NHL player and you want to put a rink in your house, you're not going to get it built in 2 months, you know.
And who is going around to build stuff?
Right. No one's around to build stuff. So he's like, they've been out on, you know, rollerblades and stuff, and it's not the same thing. So like,
the puck handling's different. It's hard to simulate the puck handling stuff and getting
right.
your
I mean,
shot.
There's puck balls and stuff like that too, but it's, yeah, you're right. It's just not the same. They're like dead rubber balls that don't bounce so much, but and playing on concrete's not the same as ice. Yeah. I mean, the NHL was definitely disadvantaged, especially since it was summertime. If this would have happened in the wintertime, you could like gone outside to outdoor rinks or something like that, or to a lake. But yeah, no, but the NBA, the NBA has got such an advantage on all the other leagues, just in the lack of equipment, the lack of personnel. They can move and adapt so fast. They can adapt so much faster than every other league. So, and especially just like, and then they don't have the structures that the antiquated, salary structures and stuff that baseball has, you know.
Baseball's got all the minors and everything too, the minor leagues. I guess the NBA now is a G League and stuff like that, but still, yeah, there's a lot less players. I mean, there's only one more player on the floor for an NBA team than there is on the ice for an NHL team, but they switch on the fly so much. You've got to have, you know, like four lines worth of forwards and three lines worth of defensemen just to kind of hang in there with people. So yeah, it's a lot more people, and they're playing on ice, so it's already cold, so it's not great. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see those two sides start to get things rolling.
Well, look at the NBA's plan too. They're all going to Orlando, and they're all going to play at the ESPN gym in Orlando.
Yeah,
they could have done it anywhere. They could have gone anywhere because you can have a basketball court anywhere.
Yeah,
hockey's really limited as to where they can go, you know, like with these hub cities. And about their hub cities too, of course, Edmonton and Winnipeg would make sense or something like that.
Winnipeg's not on their list.
Yeah, was New York on their list?
No.
Okay.
No.
So I said despite, you know, all this COVID thing and New York and LA are the biggest hotspots, they'd still put it in New York and LA if they could.
Yeah, LA is on the list. New York is not. And they got two NHL teams in New York. I mean, well, it's in the island, but just two New York City teams. So that'd be one thing, but still, no. And of course, plan is to pretend nothing's happening. They're just going to go ahead and do everything whenever they. I mean, they did skip all the OTAs, they skipped all the mini camps, they skipped the rookie camp, but they're kind of planning and reporting and starting to go.
Well, not all of them. There's someone else who is planning on continue skipping everything, and that's Dalvin Cook. But we'll get into that.
Well, we can do that right now because that's like we talked about briefly, saying, you know, like Mitch Trubisky is, you know, not being offered his fifth year. So right away, the Bears have started this season by telling him, "We're just not that into you." They signed another quarterback to tell him, fight for your job. Also, we're not sure we're going to have you next year. And if we do, it's not at $25 million. You know, it's like, oh, it's just fun. Just
The Bears didn't have the cojones to do what the Cardinals did. And that was just go, well, we were wrong. See ya, new guy.
Yeah. Well, and then they traded away a broken running back for one of the top three wide receivers in football.
Top two wide receivers in football.
That's going to hurt. No, but like you just said, Dalvin Cook today has said he will hold out if he does not get a good offer. The Vikings, now that they have made all these massive cuts, have roughly the salary cap of the Packers. I mean, they fired a lot of people, but Dalvin Cook's on his rookie deal. And he's played 3 years now. Dalvin Cook wants to get paid, and he should. He's a running back. I mean, in fairness, Aaron Jones should want to get paid too. He's worth it too. But I mean, like, I don't have an argument to say that Dalvin Cook isn't the best running back in the NFC North. Mm-hmm. And one of the top, I'm trying to think off my hand, like, he's not.
He's good. He's really good. He had that injury his rookie year. take yep. that away. He's had a pretty solid career at this point. He's very ACL, explosive. Yeah. Dynamic. He's a dynamic back. He's got a fifth gear. He's a good running back. I'd probably put him top five running backs in the league right now.
Yeah, I'm thinking that, and I always try to hesitate because I want to think who I'd put ahead of him. But you know, you say
I wouldn't put Aaron Jones ahead of him.
No, I wouldn't either.
Definitely talent wise, Aaron Jones is not as talented as Dalvin Cook is. Aaron Jones is in a little bit better situation. I'd have to argue probably.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, definitely doesn't have to play as much because Williams can play too. Well, you know,
and the other thing too, I think is that without Dalvin Cook, that team doesn't have a lot. I mean, they're going to put in what Madison as their next running back, and traded away their best
Duluth's own CJ Ham.
Yeah, and they traded away their best receiver. I think. The tight end they drafted last year, he's going to be better this year. Irving Jr. or whatever, he's going to be better this year. But still, like, they got two nice tight ends. They got Thielen who's nice. He's good, but
Thielen Thielen. I'm gonna make a very bold statement here that's going to probably make Packer fans mean. But Thielen was good with Diggs, like how Nelson was good with Jennings.
Well. Except for Nelson was good without Jennings.
Now that Diggs is gone, I mean, Nelson held his own afterwards, too.
Yeah, I mean, he had, 97 catches and 1,400 yards or something the 1 year, right? Without him.
Right, exactly. I mean, exactly.
Cobb was the number two then.
When Jordy was young. Okay, let's just put it that way. Because when Jordy was young, he had a huge Super Bowl because Greg Jennings was pulling a lot of coverage the other direction. Thielen's going to find out. And Thielen might bounce back from it, too. And Thielen might end up being like that. But this year, Thielen's going to get blanketed.
Yeah. He's going to see all the ones.
Because Diggs isn't pulling two D-backs to the other side of the field.
Yeah, and so, he's going to pull the ones every week now. I mean, he's a nice receiver. He's a good receiver. He's not
absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, like, he'd be
that was a little bit of extreme and a little bit of hyperbole because Jordy could hold his own. But I mean, like right away off the bat, when Jordy Nelson was young, he had the benefit of having Greg Jennings on the other side pulling coverage that way. So, and Thielen's not a bad wide receiver. I was just trying to make that point that this year is going to be a shock.
Yeah.
When the Jefferson kid from LSU who's going to be a nice wide receiver, but
yeah, I think so.
I don't think he's going to be Randy Moss coming out, man. I don't think so.
That almost never happens with a wide receiver, young wide receiver, stuff like that. I mean, sometimes, but not like that. Nothing like what Randy Moss was able to do to teams that year.
That was crazy.
But yeah, no, I think, I mean, if you take the threat of the running game that Dalvin Cook gives you and say like, well, now we're going to have to rely a lot more on Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Cousins looks good if you have to be afraid that he's going to hand the ball off. But right. I think it's going to change the entire team. And the thing is, they're going to sign him. They're going to sign him because they have to. The only thing
the other thing that's crazy that in the Packer, even I'll even bring the Bears. Do people hold out from the Bears ever? I don't remember.
I'm trying to think one in a while.
Because the Vikings have lots of holdouts. Have you ever noticed that? Like, it seems like I can't think of it, but like everyone's saying like, well, Aaron Jones could do the same thing. Any fear of that? No, because where the Packers as an organization have always.
Kenny Clark should have done it.
It's at the end. It's at the end when they're not good anymore. Yeah. But the Packers have always seemed to be pretty good at taking care of their young players and bringing them back.
And like I was just saying here, like Kenny Clark's the one that really surprised me. How have they not put him on a long deal at this point? Because he should hold out. I mean, he is the linchpin of that defense in so many ways. Yeah. I mean, you have to account for him all over the field. I mean, he's a big, strong guy. He's still very young. I mean, he turned 21 during his rookie year.
What was it? The two Packers that made the under 25 team were him and Jenkins.
Yeah. So you just wonder. You're like, okay, what? How have they not locked him down at this point for any of those contracts? And it's just that one still baffles me as to how they haven't gotten Kenny Clark on a long term deal so far. No, I mean, I guess the Vikings are definitely going to hem and haw on this because they don't want to pay anybody. I mean, but
I hope they make him the top paid running back in the league for 5 years. It's going to be guaranteed money, all guaranteed money.
It'll be one of two things. They will give him a gigantic contract, which will put them right up against the salary cap again, because that's what they have done repeatedly. But they have been doing that with defensive players and not as frequently with offensive players, because they have gone cheap on their offensive line. They went big time with their quarterback. They paid two wide receivers, but, you know, then traded one of them, the only one who really had a ton of trade value. And, yeah, they had to cut a lot of people just to get back the money that they're still paying to a lot of other guys, because they've got a lot of high-paid players on that defense. And, yeah, if Dalvin Cook wants to be one of the high-paid players too, and they need him, because that he is the he is what Zimmer wants to be as a football team. He doesn't want to throw that much. He wants to ground and pound and then throw off of it. And yeah, they need him to run that offense. So that'll be interesting.
Did they sign? Do you think they'll actually sign all 13 of their draft picks?
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah.
Just wondering.
Yeah. The only other Wisconsin news, just as we're wrapping things up, is that it was not the direction we were talking about last week, but UW Green Bay has signed their new men's basketball coach.
Oh, really? They did, huh? Sorry, yeah. I've been out of the loop for the last week bit here.
But... Well, the talk was that the head coach at UW Lacrosse last week, I'm forgetting his name now, but I'd love him to stay in lacrosse because they were actually slightly relevant this year. Like, that team played better than I have ever seen a UW lacrosse team ever be. But they did name Will Ryan as the men's basketball coach for the Phoenix going forward. He has been a head coach. I'm forgetting the university. Here it is. Is it Wheeling University, which is in Wheeling, West Virginia. He took a team that was projected to finish last in his conference and got them to finish fifth. When he arrived to start the season, he had 5 players on the team.
Wow. That's a big accomplishment.
That was
pretty
good. He has been, he's been on the bench as North Dakota State and, I forget where else. He did play for, UW-Platteville on 2 national championship teams at UW-Platteville. Remember who the coach was on those Platteville teams, Aaron?
Bo Ryan. So this Bo is Ryan. Bo Ryan's son, Will
this
Ryan.
This is Bo Ryan's son, Will Ryan.
I was going to ask that as a joke if it was Bo Ryan's kid or not, but...
It is.
Hey, did Bo coach at Green Bay too or not? Or just Platteville,
no,
right?
No, Platteville.
Just Platteville. Okay, yeah.
I remember if Tony coach...
Oh, Tony Bennett was the
Tony
one
Tony Bennett coached
it.
Over there. He coached at the Point, then GB, and then UW. So, yeah. So that's an interesting hire. It's a little out of where they thought they were going. It's still that whole situation is still so weird to me because they fired a winning coach. But this is a good get. I mean, if you got a name like that that you can pull into Wisconsin,
it makes you wonder if that was actually what was the plan all along.
Well, their first you didn't hear last week then because the guy at St. Norbert told them no. That was their first option, apparently, was. And he said, nope, I'm not going to do it. And I was like, geez, you get told no by St. Norbert? I mean, that's D3 to D1. And you're like, hey, man, what's going on here? So, yeah.
And he wouldn't even have to change houses. Yeah, he could still live in Green Bay.
Yeah, he could live right in De Pere.
It's
Green
a little
Bay
bit
or
more of a drive to get up to Alloway. I suppose if you're living down in Ashwaubenon. It's a little bit of a drive up to where UW Green Bay is in the northeast part of town, but I mean, did he not want to get on? I mean, have you been to Green Bay lately? There's a lot of roundabouts in that town. Maybe that's what the
they're safer
thing
and
was.
Faster once you know how to use them.
They are, but not like how Green Bay has them. Have you seen some of the? There's a place where 29 comes in where it intersects 32 that goes north towards Marinette, right there on the northwest part of town. There's 4 consecutive roundabouts within a half mile, and one of the roundabouts has a road that goes through the middle of it. So it's not even a roundabout. It's
okay,
a T-intersection that has a roundabout around it. I'm not even kidding you. I don't know what the engineers were thinking, but it's ridiculous. So maybe that's why he didn't want to go up. Maybe that's why he lives in the St. Norbert area. He didn't want to head up towards that part of town.
I have no idea.
Maybe he hates Door County. Didn't want to be any closer to Door County.
Jeez. I don't know.
I wasn't here last week to make these jokes, so
we
I
may never know. Yes. Anyhow, that's what we've got for this week. We managed to get an hour out of this without hopefully being offensive in any kind of weird ways. We're definitely not trying to be. We're just trying to stick to.
I wasn't trying to.
No. I don't think. I'm imagining we're good. Everybody, stay safe out there. All right, look after yourselves. Check after your buddies. Keep yourselves safe. And there's a lot going on. So it's 2020 is a heck of a thing. And our friend of the podcast, Megan Schrader, was talking about how if 2020 was a soda, what would it be? And my answer was Jolt Cola. There's nothing really good about the taste of it, but it's going to keep you awake.
Kick ass.
I don't even know if they make Jolt Cola anymore, but they used to get us through trivia.
I've seen it sometimes.
They used to get us through trivia. At Stevens Point has the world's largest trivia. It's 54 straight hours of trivia played over the radio, and people call in their stuff from all over town. That got canceled this year because of COVID, but it's used to use that just to stay awake for 54 straight hours.
God, there was Jolt, and what was Jolt? The cola flavored one.
There was Surge. No, it's completely different.
Surge was good though. Surge actually came back around here recently, and you can Surge again.
Still buy that.
And that's like a 7-Up-y Mountain Dew, and that's pretty good.
Ton of
but there
caffeine.
Was there was Jolt cola that was the cola flavored cola, and then there was a Mountain Dew sort of thing in high school too, and it was just like Jolt, where it was like triple the caffeine.
Yeah,
and I forget what
all the sugar.
I drank
caffeine.
An entire case of it one time at a bonfire when I was in high school, and I vomited a lot.
Like what should happen there? Your body should reject that like a baboon heart.
Well, my body's been trying to reject me for 40 years, John. You know that.
No success.
Hey, are we back on the town now with your catchphrase at the end or not?
We're gonna say it this way. Please remember, you can follow us at Scotty Johnny Pod at Not So Humble Host and at Cheddar Talk. And of course, we're on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and much, much more. Remember to subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us. And we'll say it this way, whether you're on the town or on the go or not, just remember that it is always on Wisconsin.
Wash your hands, wash your butt.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.